Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
Good morning, afternoon, evening, brunch time, lunch time. It kind of went the way we thought it would time. Maybe you were more optimistic than I was time, and that's okay, because there's nothing wrong with dreaming time. Whatever time of day it is, boys and girls, it's the right time for the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio here on a Saturday night, sitting exactly 2.1 miles away from Neyland Stadium, where the guest, the co-host of this podcast, also was with me just a couple of hours ago. Actually, just got back not long ago from Neyland Stadium, where Tennessee fell by a lot, a pretty fair amount, 48-17 to second-ranked Alabama. Patrick Brown, what's going on, man?
Nothing, just getting back home and joining you again. It's like we never left.
Yeah, it is, except for now I'm not staring at the back of your head, which is nice. Not that there's anything wrong with the back of your head.
No, that's a plus. I'll say that.
And I guess the positive would be with you sitting, if I'm looking at the back of your head, it means you're not looking at me at all, which is
also positive.
Which is probably the way I would prefer, and the way my wife would prefer things too, if I'm being honest. Pat, this game, there's a bunch to take away from this game. I think, you know, the bottom line is that this is about what most of us expected. I mean, I think I picked 48-14 and ended up being 48-17. I think we all picked a pretty lopsided game. If Tennessee had played the way it played against Alabama last week, probably could have been good enough to beat Kentucky. I don't think the performance from Tennessee was absolutely terrible. I might be wrong about that. I think that there were several things that could have gone better. But overall, considering the opponent, I'm not that hung up on the way this one ended.
Well, no, I mean, it's like you said, I think it went as, I had 48. What did I have? I had 42-17. So I was right through three quarters until Alabama, I overestimated how good their kicking game has gotten now, because usually Alabama misses most of their field goals that they attempt. So
that's true.
They made two this time, so maybe I didn't take that into account. But I knew it would be tough for Tennessee's offense Tennessee's defense, I should say, against Alabama's offense. Alabama's offense, with or without Jalen Waddle, I think is very good. I think their offensive line, I think, gets overlooked because of all the way Mac Jones is throwing the deep ball, the way the receivers are making big plays. But, I mean, I don't know how you stop Alabama's offense. This is an offense that went, hung 41 on Georgia's defense, and we all know how good that defense is. So, I mean, I'm sure if you're Tennessee, you're going to look back at a couple plays, a couple of moments that, if you get those plays, if you make those plays, maybe it's a different game. Maybe you force a field goal. Maybe you get off the field. Maybe you get a turnover in the end zone. I think that was a close play early in the game. So, mm-hmm. I think that probably went about how I thought it would. This isn't a vintage Alabama defense, but it doesn't have to be because the way they're scoring 48 a game. So, and I thought Tennessee did some better things than maybe I expected on offense. I think Jerry Garantano, it wasn't perfect, but considering what we've seen, we've seen the bad from him, and this was far, far from that. If you get no turnovers from him, and of course he didn't take any sacks or either. So, if you can get this kind of game from him, you're going to have a chance to win most times against most of the teams you're going to play. But like you said, I think you made a good point that if Tennessee had played like they did today, they almost certainly are probably going to beat Kentucky, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
And at least, you know, that game could have gone much better than it did. But, I think coming off of that Kentucky game, I think, you know, there's still some frustration about how the season has gone. And there's some frustration from maybe some things that could have gone differently that would have maybe kept Tennessee in the game longer today. But that said, I think Alabama's really good. And a lot of what Tennessee did wrong probably had a lot to do with Alabama in a lot of cases. But there are also some moments where, again, if you're Tennessee, you're going to look back and say, if this goes differently, maybe it's a closer game.
Yeah, I think the margins in a game like this for Tennessee are pretty small. I don't want to say they're non-existent like they used to be, but the list of things that has to go right for Tennessee in a game like this is pretty large. And you could make a list of maybe 10 or so things, and like at least 8 of those things have to go your way in order for Tennessee to kind of have a chance in a game like this. And frankly, Alabama needs to play pretty bad. And I don't think Alabama played that bad today. It didn't play great necessarily, but I think it played pretty well, especially considering Waddle goes out on the opening kickoff and he's done for the year, unfortunately, which is just terrible because I think he's probably the most exciting player to watch in college football right now, at least for me right now. So I think that's disappointing for the SEC, disappointing for college football. But, you know, you're rolling in guys like Mechie and Bolden and other guys behind him who are still really good football players. So it's not like Bama's just cooked at that point. You know, they kind of roll out some other dudes. No one quite like Waddle, but still some really good players. But the list of things that have to go right. You know, Mac Jones completed 81% of his passes today for a billion yards, basically. But there were at least 3 opportunities where Tennessee's defensive backs probably should have had an interception, in my opinion. If you want to play at a high level, if you want to give yourself a chance to win a game like this, you have to make those plays. And Tennessee had at least 3 chances, really good chances, to intercept a ball. And I think it turned into 1 incompletion. Or 1 completion and 2 incomplete passes. You just have to make those plays in a game like this. You have to make those plays. Tennessee's defense, I think, held in there okay. Remember that Alabama was like 7 of 12 on third down today, and its numbers for the season went down. That's how good Alabama is on third down. It's better than anybody in the country at it. But there were a couple chances where Tennessee had Harris stopped behind the line of scrimmage and just did not get him on the ground. Now, he's a big dude. He's almost Derrick Henry size. That's a large mammal. He's going to make some plays. He's going to make people miss. He had more yards against Georgia than he did against Tennessee. Tennessee did an okay job against him, but had a couple chances, really good chances, to get him behind the line, scrimmage on third down. Didn't do it. So those things, when those don't go your way, you're not going to win a game like this. Then Harris... Well,
I look back at 3 plays, Wes.
Go ahead.
I don't know what the... what drive it was, but Darrell Millison is unblocked into the backfield and has a chance to take Harris down for a loss on third down. And as big as Najee Harris is, he's not as big as Darrell Middleton. And correct. Middleton just whiffs. And the drive before that, I think it was third down, Alabama or Tennessee didn't block a guy and he got in the backfield. He made the tackle. And, you know, that's the difference in these two teams right now, is when Alabama's guys are unblocked, they're making the plays. When Tennessee's guys are in block, Alabama's guys are making a miss. So, and then Harris still had to fight through about 2 different tackles and about 4 different defenders. And there were so many plays in this game. You're like, how did he get 5 yards? It looked like he was going to get 1 yard and he got 6, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was a big play. Cause if you make that play right there, you're probably forcing a field goal early in the game. Instead, they were in the end zone a couple plays later. There was the deep shot to, I think it was Mechie. I'm not sure what the score was. Time it was second quarter. It was going towards Tennessee's locker room. But again, it goes back to the Georgia game with Trayvon Flowers. If a team, if a quarterback's going to throw one up to you in double coverage, and you get your hands on it, you have to make that play. Bryce Thompson probably makes that play 6 out of 10 times, but this time he somehow didn't high point the ball like he should have. I think he probably went for the interception instead of the, you know, if he goes up and tries to knock that ball down, he probably knocks it down. He went up for the pick, which, you know, you can't blame him necessarily because, you know, that's what DBs are coached to do, go up and get the ball. But that's a play where if you make that interception or at least knock it down, maybe Alabama doesn't score 2 plays later. And then the fumble, you know, it looked like a fumble to me, Wes. I don't know what the SEC
think it was a fumble
crew thing. Saw. We didn't really get an explanation on why the play stood. I don't know if they didn't, if they couldn't determine it was, you know, if it was a clear recovery, what the deal was there. But certainly looked to me like Najee Harris is on a defender's body when the ball comes out. They cut the replays off too close, you know, too soon to see who, if it was DeAndre Johnson, if it was somebody else from Tennessee, or if they gave Harris credit for grabbing it with one arm, even though, you know, is that really possession at that point?
Yeah, and that's such a big play because Harris never loses. Harris fumbled once earlier this season. And that was the first lost fumble of his career, and he's a senior, so he doesn't do that very often.
It was a great play from, I think, Bumpus, who's the only guy who ripped it out. But you know, that's a great play with it. You know, you get a little bit of bad luck there. You know, we didn't get an explanation on why that play was upheld. Looked to me like it was a fumble. Maybe they didn't see a clear recovery. It sure seemed like Tennessee thought they had the ball, but you know, that fumble on the goal line, that could be a big swing in that game. And then those other two plays, if they go differently, then, you know, maybe Tennessee gets an extra stop or two, or they get a hold in the red zone and maybe they're still in this game. But, you know, the issues in the secondary continue to be a problem on defense. And then a lot of missed tackles today. And sometimes you can chalk up missed tackles too. The other team just has really good players. And certainly that's the case with this Alabama offense. But they're just, you know, I don't know if that's just the talent difference, or if it, you know, Tennessee's players, you know, when you're making a tackle against better, you know, talented players like Alabama, you kind of seem like all of their techniques and what they're taught just goes out the window, and it makes you look bad sometimes. So, but again, that's what Alabama does to people. That's what Alabama's going to do to a lot of teams. But certainly they're, you know, I think Tennessee's defensive line needs to get better. Clearly that group regressed, I guess. Certainly Jeremy Pruitt feels that it regressed under Jimmy Brumbaugh, and he's trying to it's like his own personal reclamation project. But you know, and the secondary, that's kind of been a disappointment all season, because we thought that group would be better than it's played.
Yeah, that play was the next thing I was going to mention, the play on the goal line there. I think a better explanation would have been nice. But my belief is that when they looked at that video, they said, yeah, that might be a fumble, but we can't tell for sure who recovered it. And since that's either a touchdown or a touchback and we're not exactly sure, we're just going to go back to where the ball was fumbled or whatever and keep possession with Alabama. That's the only thing that I can think of in my head, because that clear as day looked like a fumble to me. And maybe there's another angle they've got, the replay guys do. I don't know exactly what they looked at. From what we saw on the play, it looked like that ball got out, and it looked like Tennessee got a hand on it. So I don't, you know, my point where I was going with that was that there was a long list of things that had to go exactly right for Tennessee to have a chance in this game. And a lot of those things just didn't go Tennessee's way. Not making the play that they needed to, not putting some more pressure on Alabama. And the margins are so thin in a game like this that it's like they played okay, but they had to play fantastic to have a chance to win this game. And they're just not making plays. And I don't know why that secondary has just not been as good as we thought it would be. I guess the way Nigel Warrior played at the end of last season, just it was even better than we thought it was, because they're just at the safety position in particular, they're just not making plays. And I don't know why that is, but that's where they are right now. They need to get better there. Derek Ansley is a really good secondary coach, a really good defensive coordinator. I think the bye week comes at a good time for them. They need to get better. The defensive line needs to get better. But there were some things in this game that were better, I think. And before we go to break, we're going to talk about those things really quickly. The things that I saw anyway. Pass protection, much better in this game. You know, Alabama had one sack and zero sacks and one pressure in 25 throw attempts. That's pretty good. I know this Alabama team doesn't have great edge rushers necessarily, but that's still better. I thought Jameer Johnson looked good coming in at left tackle and filling in for Wanya Morris. I think he made them look better up front. I think Darnell Wright at right tackle played better. That looked good. Jalen Hyatt emerged at wide receiver, made two huge plays. Still not sure he ever stepped out of bounds on that second one, but officials said he did. You still think he did? I still never saw clear evidence that he did.
Barely, but he did.
Well, that's fair enough. You maybe saw a better angle than I did, because I watched the replay and I thought, is he out of bounds? I still don't know that he was. But regardless, he steps up, two targets turn into two really big plays, and he showed some speed that Tennessee desperately needs there, and I'm just wondering why they only targeted him twice. So a couple of other things in that game were better, I thought, and it gives you reason to believe that with the bye week, some of this stuff maybe can get sorted out and this team can play better.
Yeah, and like I said, I think the better things have to be on offense because it wasn't great against Kentucky, obviously. And remember, you know, Alabama scored 48 points. They did get a defensive touchdown. I think that was a big play in the game too, right? You know, Tennessee coming out of halftime has not been very good.
No, that's three games in a row.
These past couple of weeks, for sure, or at least during this losing streak. You have a chance to come out. It's 28-10. You know, you've been moving the ball. You had a couple of nice drives in the first half, and you have a chance to go and make it 28-17. And, you know, the longer you can stay in the game, the more pressure you put on Alabama to keep executing. It's a lot easier to execute in a game and go out there and play when you're up 35-10 as opposed to you being up two scores. So, Eric Gray, who's had some ball security issues dating back to last season, a couple times this season, he's put the ball on the ground. Has a play made against him. Malachi Moore rips the ball out and takes it back for a touchdown. That was the only turnover, so you cut the turnovers down, which was a big thing, but he still gave up a defensive touchdown somehow. So they've obviously got to stop doing that. I mean, that's 8 turnovers in 3 games, and that's, what, 37 points?
Yeah.
And you've given up 2 first downs to the other team off, you know, in those sudden change situations. So, right after that, you give up the touchdown, then you get a great turnover. You know, Trayvon Flowers makes a play, punch the ball out, you get a turnover. And then that play calling sequence there just really puzzled me. I don't know why. And 10 at your own or at Alabama's 48 or whatever. You just make a play, go up top. You know, you've proven you can. First of all, you're protecting the quarterback in this game. Second of all, you'd made some plays over the top with Hyatt, with Josh Palmer. You know, you taking some downfield shots. Why aren't you taking one down? You know, why aren't you taking one there? Or try something. Don't front it off tackle for minimal gain. And they might have even lost yards on that play. So. And then the third down call on that sequence, that was just really puzzling to me. And we don't get to talk to Jim Chaney. We don't get to know what their thinking was there. Some conservative calls in this game, you understand. You know, and sometimes you think if Tennessee's in 3rd and 8 and they run it, to me that's always them saying, if we get close on 4th down, we'll go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what they were thinking on that 3rd down. But that sequence didn't make a lot of sense to me. The field goal early in the game, it was 4th and 2. That was at that point for your offense, you didn't want to maybe have a chance where you have a nice looking drive and then you come up completely empty, because that could have been a real demoralizing moment. So I think that field goal there is maybe justifiable a little bit, but I didn't understand after the turnover. It was 35-10. What have you got to lose? Take a shot up, take a shot down the field and see if you can get back in the game. And they didn't do that, and Alabama went down and scored. So. There's still some good things, but you said something earlier, about what Tennessee needed to win this game. They needed Alabama to play an off game. That's what, and Pruitt pointed this out afterwards, the best teams in this league, they don't do that. They don't beat themselves. They make you beat them, and they have better athletes than you, and so that's why it's much harder for them to beat themselves. You really saw that today with Alabama. They don't make a whole lot of mistakes. You know, they had a couple penalties, but they weren't big penalties. They had the one turnover, but that was it. And, you know, that's the thing is these teams, you know, they put so much pressure on you with their talent that they have a lot more margin of error, like you said. And so Tennessee's not to that point, and they haven't really all season played, even in stretches, they haven't played well in all 3 phases. They haven't had, you know, the offense going or the defense going, you know, even some on Saturday, they had some good moments on offense, but then the defense couldn't get a stop. You know, they did get a couple stops on defense and then couldn't do anything with it. So, they need to sort of line that up. And I guess the good news, if you're trying to look at the positives coming out of this game, is that you do have your open date now, which will give you a chance to get some of your younger players more work. And you'll have to play Georgia and Alabama again, so that's always good.
Yeah, there's a couple things here that I want to talk about. And what you just mentioned was part of what I wanted to talk about in the second segment, which is a good segue to that. So what we're going to do is we're going to step away, we're going to take a break, pay some bills, and we're going to come back, and I want to talk about that too a little bit, because that was something in this game that I really didn't like, and it was more from a philosophical standpoint than anything else. So just hang on just a second, just a couple minutes. We'll be right back here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. #ad.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products and services and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Patrick Brown coming to us from an undisclosed location. And we just, as of just a couple hours ago, we're still at Neyland Stadium, where Tennessee fell to second-ranked Alabama 48-17 on Saturday. Got plenty to talk about here in the second segment. But before we do that, I'm just going to remind everybody again, ask everybody again, please go in there and subscribe to this podcast and hit that, just mash that subscribe button, and please give us a rating and review. Whether you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you can cast a fine pod, you can find the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. And we do this for free, and we're happy to do it. It really is a labor of love, but we really would like it if you could please just take just a couple minutes there, drop a rating and review. It really helps us out. It really helps grow the wolf pack. It helps people with the algorithms and stuff. It helps more people see this podcast. And I'm really, really thrilled with everything that we're doing here. The way that this thing is growing every week, it's been awesome. And we have so much to thank y'all for all of that. But the one thing that we're going to ask for still is if you could go do that, that would be a big help for us. Second thing, really quickly, I apologize. My voice is a little bit shot this evening. I don't know why. It just is that time of year. So please just bear with me. I've got a little bit of a weakness in the vocal cords right now. Pat talked a lot there at the end of that first segment about something I wanted to talk about too in this podcast, which was that Tennessee, in my opinion, philosophically got something wrong about this game. And it I don't want to say like it really, really bothered me, but I don't think it was the right thing to do. Alabama is going to go out there and score 45-plus points in just about every game that it plays this season. This team came into this game averaging 48.5 points. And in this game, it scored 48 points, and it was 7 of 12 on third down, and that brought both of those numbers down for the season. Down. And remember, Alabama has played an SEC-only schedule just like everybody else has. Already played Georgia. You know, been some tough games that this team has played. And still, that offense is just churning through people. Like, it's just a kind of a cheat code, that whole offense. Starting up front with the line, it's fantastic. The quarterbacks, Mac Jones has been a surgeon. The receivers are explosive. They got good tight ends who do a lot of things. Harris is a really good running back. There's nothing that they're really missing on offense. So that game against that kind of opponent, I thought Tennessee was a little bit too conservative at times in this game. And not just offensively, I think in other ways too. I think that Tennessee tried an onside kick in the second half. I would have liked to have seen one earlier than that. Because you very clearly, Alabama had 400 yards of total offense in the first half. There was nothing you were really doing to get in Alabama's way. So at that point, I don't know why you're not being a little bit more aggressive with things like that. Pat mentioned the sudden change situation there with handing the ball off, basically three times, one pop pass in there, going nowhere. I don't like the message that sends, because you're not going to be conservative against a team like this and beat it. The offense is too good. I think you have to be more aggressive. And to me, Pat, and feel free to disagree with me here. I know you'll tell me if you do. If your choices are to be sort of conservative and lose a game by 31 points or be aggressive and lose it by 40 or 50 points, I'd rather do the latter, man. I'd rather go out there and be aggressive because I want to go out there and shoot my shot. I don't want to go up against a team like this and not do everything that I could and know that I gave my players the best chance they could to put some points on the board and win this game.
Well, I don't totally disagree with you. I mean, I don't buy into damage limitation or anything like that. Especially if it's going to be the difference in losing by 31 or 38. I mean, you know, it's not like Alabama was throwing it down the field in the fourth quarter with their backups with Bryce Young in there. So, I think you can kind of rationalize a couple of them, like I said, at the end of the last segment. I mean, I think, you know, that field goal early in the game, if it's, you know, if you have that good of a drive, your offense was in the tank last week, you know what I mean? So if you go on that drive, 13 plays, what, you know, 60 yards, I think it was, you go down there and get stopped on fourth down. That's going to, you know, that might be demoralizing. Get something out of that. I, like I said, the one that confused me, I would have done, like you said, I would have done the onside kick earlier. And I would have, been more aggressive on that turnover, but, I don't know that Tennessee was like super conservative in this game. I do wonder again, and you know, we saw this last year with Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings. At times, if Tennessee had nothing else, they would at least kind of chuck it up there and hope, yeah, you know, and take some shots down the field. And that seemed to be the, you know, I don't know how many shots they took down the field, but they probably hit on more than half of them tonight or on Saturday. So, you know, why not do that more when it was clear you didn't give up any sacks? I don't know how many quarterback hits they gave up. You know, you were protecting better. Why didn't you call more, you know, downfield pass plays when it was clear that that was something that was working for you? If you have Jalin Hyatt in the slot working on safeties, you know, he showed twice he can run by him. You know, that's not like he has to know the whole playbook to do that. So, you know, why didn't they do that more? They took some shots downfield to Josh Palmer on Patrick Surtain, who's Alabama's best cover corner. Surtain won a couple of those matchups, but then they got the touchdown over on him too. So, why did they do that more? Maybe it would be something else I would question, but I don't know that Tennessee was super conservative, and frankly, I don't know if they would have been more aggressive that it would have made that much of a difference, just because, you know, it's Alabama and they were obviously the better team.
Yeah, I think you're trying to set a tone as a program.
I think Pruitt's shown that he's not necessarily a super conservative coach.
I agree with that, but that's why it confused me in this game. And I know that he's the head coach. He's not the offensive play caller. He will go in there and tell him to change a play call if he doesn't like it. He's the one who's ultimately responsible for it, and he doesn't deny that. But, you know, I still just, you know, when they got that touchdown to Jalin Hyatt, right? They're 6:13 left in the first half. They're down 21-10. And I said at that point, try an onside kick right there. And the reason I said that was because I didn't, you know, even if you didn't get it, and odds are you don't, I don't know how much of a difference it makes, because here's what happened. Tennessee, instead of doing the onside kick, boots it to the end zone, and Bama takes over at its own 25. The very first play of the drive throws 25 yards to the tight end Forrestall, right to midfield, and then two plays later, they're down to the 2-yard line. And they have a 5-play touchdown drive. So what difference does it make at least with an onside kick, you have a chance of recovering it. You're not really slowing down that offense. And that, to me, is a move that Pruitt earlier in his career, I think he would have made it. I don't know why he didn't do it today. He did it later in the game, and that was good to see, because maybe he wants to send a message that he has faith in his defense. But I think sometimes discretion's the better part of valor. Like, you're not gonna, you know, you're not slowing down that offense. So give yourself a chance to do something there, and they didn't. And I just didn't like that.
Well, and you know, the flip side of it too is look at the end of the first half when Tennessee tried. You know, like, I don't remember how much time was on the clock. Maybe a minute. You know, they had the intentional grounding right, and I think they got Alabama to punt. You're at your own 18. You had timeouts left. I think they ran it on first down and second down, took a shot down the field. Maybe people question and say, why weren't you more aggressive there? Well, even when they ran it on third down and, you know, made Alabama use the timeout, Alabama still got down to the 39 in like 25 seconds. And they got into a position to get a Hail Mary. And I think it, you know, you're maybe an offside penalty away there from Alabama getting a field goal. So sometimes just going all out aggressive isn't the smartest thing to do. And you kind of have to pick and choose your spots. But I think there were a couple of those spots, like we mentioned, where maybe Tennessee could have been a little bit less conservative. But bottom line is I don't think it would have made that big a difference in the game. And in it, even if you're trying to send a message to your team or show your team that you're not going to coach scared, I don't think that that's something that we're genuinely still questioning about Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, I think he's gone for enough fourth downs and called enough surprise onside kicks in his career, including one that got Indiana in the bowl. And of course, Indiana had a nice win today. How about that?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. And I think that to me, a 48-17 loss and like a 58-17 loss, to me, there's absolutely no difference in that. I don't, if you tell me that you're going to lose 58-17, but you're going to play a little more aggressively, I'd rather do that because I would think at least at that point you're trying, you know. They could have, at times when the game was almost decided, it felt like they still could have done a little bit more. I didn't hate the end of the first half though, Pat, because in that situation, it almost worked because Alabama, they run that first play kind of conservatively. They're not totally hurrying to the line of scrimmage. It looks like they might just go to the half. And then, boom, they try to sneak out, Palmer downfield and make a big play out of that, maybe catch Alabama napping. It was a good try. It's just that it went against the wrong guy. He's really disciplined, and he made a nice play. And I think Garantano gave him a shot on that throw. It wasn't terrible. It seems to me like there are times this season where this team in general, to me, I think it's a more talented team in some ways, but I don't know that it's as well coached as it was last season. And I get that COVID's happening. I get that things are different right now, but there's just, I wanted a little bit more out of this team is what I'm trying to say. And I just don't know that they're getting everything they can get out of these guys right now.
Well, big picture, and if we're going to shift to that, I mean, the game that Tennessee obviously would love to have back is the Kentucky game. I mean, that's the one. I think most people thought they'd be at best 3-2 going into this open date. So they're 2-3 because they imploded against Kentucky, and Kentucky came out on Saturday and lost to Missouri. So, but it does seem that, have we determined, has Texas A&M turned a corner? Do we think they have? Nobody left on the schedule is like unbeatable. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Like,
the two Titans have already been played.
Yeah, and that seems to be the kind of the way it is in this league for the other. I think I've said this before. It's the other 11 teams. Vanderbilt looks pretty desolate, Alabama and Georgia are in a class of their own. Florida's got some defensive issues, and obviously, their issues with not having practice for however long it's been may not be a big deal in 6 weeks when Tennessee plays them. But, Auburn is, that game, they play only close games there.
Golly, I mean, Auburn Jesus is alive and well, man. The breaks that they get are just baffling.
Arkansas looks tougher than everybody expected, but you still wonder if they're kind of just – playing above their heads right now, and are they going to come back down to reality at some point? Is Texas A&M, have they turned the corner, or is beating a Florida team that's maybe not as good as everybody thought? There's just the rest of this league for the majority of this league, it's literally anybody can beat anybody on any given day. Most teams aren't going to beat Georgia. Most teams aren't going to beat Alabama. Tennessee play those teams. The gap between those teams still seems to be pretty big. But that the gap between those two teams and a lot of other teams is pretty big. So, and it just gets back to the Kentucky game. If Tennessee was going, if they were 3-2 going into this open date, had lost to Alabama 48-17, I don't know that, I don't know that there's much angst going around, but, because you lost that game, the way you did, and what it's done to your record, you know, I think there's a lot more uncertainty and things of that nature around the program. And Pruitt was pretty emphatic and adamant that, you know, he's not lost faith. And I don't know what people would expect him to say. And, you know, given that he was asked about five different times,
yeah,
about what, you know, is the gap between Alabama too big? This, all that, and the other.
Answer, yes, it is. That's going to take time to narrow that.
You know, people kept asking him that, and I'm like, what is he supposed to say? Like, is he supposed to be like, yep, they're way ahead of us. They're also way ahead of everybody. I don't know.
I don't even know we tried today. Like, what's he supposed to say? I don't know.
It's like Georgia and Alabama are going to be a lot of teams by 23 and 31 points or whatever it was today. So, you know, again, you know, Tennessee is judged on how you do against Florida and Alabama and Georgia. I get that. But if that's what we're judging it on, then a lot of people are going to be disappointed, not just at Tennessee, but elsewhere. So, and they, you know, they got to just keep working, keep recruiting, keep trying to get better. I'm interested to see what comes out of this, because I don't know how many times Pruitt needs to say it, but they apparently are very high on a lot of these young players. And we haven't seen a lot of them yet, just maybe in bits and pieces. And, you know, you see a guy like Jalin Hyatt on Saturday sort of have a breakout game. I think we can call it that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Pruitt points to him after the game saying he's a guy that didn't miss practice. He's gotten a lot of practice. So he's basically on schedule, is kind of more or less the way I took what Pruitt said. And then they've got a lot of guys that just aren't on schedule. I mean, I think they really like Tamarian McDonald in the secondary, but he's practiced for 2 weeks. You know, these other young wide receivers, you know, Pruitt was asked a couple different times about why they can't get those guys on the field. And, it's, you know, he was pretty open in saying, you know, you got to earn it during the week. You know, we're not going to play you just because you might be more talented. You know, you got to practice a certain way. And what kind of message are you sending to your team if you're playing guys that aren't ready, you know? And even going back to before this game, when Pruitt told CBS that Jarrett Gantrano was going to start at quarterback, you know, I think Jamie Erdahl, who's a sideline reporter for CBS, asked him, you know, how did the team react? And like, he was like, well, you know, they saw what happens and they see what happens in practice. They're not, you know, the players know what's going on. I mean, there's no secrets. So it's going to be interesting to see if there is more of a youth movement. And Pruitt seems to me, and he made a couple of references to what Alabama's done today, as, you know, he's all about development, practice time, guys getting better over time. You know, he talked about it with freshman receivers. He's talked about it with the quarterbacks over the last week when that was the big topic. He talked about it with his defensive line, saying that, you know, Alabama can plug other guys in when Jalen Waddle gets hurt because guys like John Metchie, you know, have been in the program. Guys like Slade Bolden have been in the program. They know the offense. They know the system. They kind of just know, you know, you can plug in players. Not only are those guys talented, but they've been developed and they've gotten a lot of practice time and time to get better as players. Whereas, you know, Tennessee is still young in a lot of places. I know people don't want to hear that, but, you know, you look, he pointed out on the defensive line some examples, you know, two guys that are playing a lot, Shel Bumpus and Jaquan Blakely, all, you know, they played on offense for 2 years. Amari Thomas is a freshman. He got here in June. Daryl Middleton missed a lot of the preseason, and he's never had a spring since he's been here. Same for Savion Williams, you know, two junior college guys that just haven't gotten a lot of time, a lot of practice time. So, and that's that's a developmental position too. So, he keeps, you know, that fans don't want to hear that. They're thinking year three, it's time to make some noise. It was interesting to me that he was saying, you know, when he got asked five different times about the gap being closed, he was like, I was over there 3 years ago. I saw where this program was. I saw where it was when I took over. And I can assure you that we're in a better spot now than we were. That you know, the gap to Alabama is, I don't think that was what he was asked, but I think he's more or less saying that they're are in much better shape as a program now compared to where they were when they took over. I don't think anybody can argue that at this point.
Yeah, I think some will, but I don't agree with it.
Well, some will just because they're mad about the last three games, and that's fine. That, you know, I understand that. But you know, he is preaching publicly now, stay the course, keep developing, keep working. And I'm not sure, you know, people don't want to hear that, but what else is he supposed to say? He said, oh, well, we lost three games. we're just going to mail it in. I mean, I don't know, you know.
Do they want him to go up there and kick the podium or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what some people want. Now, I think, you know, when you get to this point, you know, 3 years of how he sounds like us, he talks like us, we like that about him, now becomes you're parsing through every word as a reason to, you know, point out the negativity. And it's, you know, and he's, you know, they kind of get in this bubble, players and coaches. You know, they don't hear what's being said, written, posted, all that stuff. You know, they go to class, go to the complex, watch film, get ready for practice, all that stuff. You know, that's kind of where they are. And that's sort of their singular focus. So that's why, you know, for some people it's going to sound like, you know, read the room, but their room is a lot different than a lot of other people's.
Yeah. And I think that there's, you know, they're not fighting 3 weeks of frustration with people. They're fighting 12 years of it. And that's we've seen this.
And maybe 14 if you want to throw in this series, this losing streak to Alabama.
Yeah, I mean they're fighting a dozen or so years of a lot of futility in football, and the frustration grows over time, and people just get more and more frustrated, and it builds and it builds, and we've seen, you know, multiple Tennessee head coaches now kind of reach this point where people start to get really frustrated, and the honeymoon period ends, and now it's like, okay, let's start seeing results, and that's. I think this is a weird year, and so I don't think anything is going to happen. I think people need to slow their roll on that. But, you know, listen, this is the third year. It's been a weird year, but it's the third year. And you would like to see at the end of the season that this is a better team than it was last year. And it could be. We don't know. I mean, this is a huge bye week coming up for them. But these things, these losses, they take on more meaning over time. They just do. And you know, Pruitt and these guys are going to have to understand that. They are fighting. You know, there's something that Matthew Butler said after the game, Tennessee's senior defensive lineman. He said something that I just was like, whoa, okay, he gets it, as he usually does. He said that Alabama has a winning culture, Tennessee has a winning history. That's the difference right now. They have tried so hard to rebuild this culture at Tennessee, and they're working on it, but it's not there yet. It's just not. I mean, with the inconsistent performance, with the just some of the boneheaded mistakes we're seeing, the culture is not sort of where it still needs to be. It's just not. But this is halfway through the season, and I'm not going to sit here and pronounce this season DOA when I thought they'd be 3-2 right now, and they're 2-3. And the Kentucky loss was miserable, much worse than the Alabama game. I don't care what anybody says. It's the truth. And so now they got to go out there and do work. They got to go take a couple of these games that maybe people think they weren't going to win. They got to win them because they don't need to sit here at 4-6 or 3-7 at the end of this season. They got to go out there and do work. But I'm not convinced that that's not possible.
And a couple things. First of all, if they go out and lose a tough game or get beat by Arkansas, then that would be, you can start mashing the panic button again, like you did after the Kentucky game.
Sure.
I mean, that, you know, losing to that program that came into this season with a 19 game losing streak. I know Sam Pittman's done a great job. He's made a couple of really good coordinator hires. I said that early in the off season. It didn't take long for that to get played out to be true. I got a bold prediction right today too. So,
I came so close. I came so close on one. So close.
So, shout out to me. And I almost got the final score right. So, I'm pretty much on a roll.
Hey, I had 48-4. I had 48-14 as the pick. Okay, I'm not far behind there, buddy.
And so, if you do that off of an open date, okay, that'll be pretty indefensible. Losing to Alabama by 31 is not necessarily indefensible. Because there are going to be a lot of teams this bad. I mean, Texas A&M is, I think, has more talented roster than Tennessee. And what was that game? 52-24.
Yeah.
What's the math on that one? 28? I don't know.
Seems right.
I'm not a math major. I leave that up to my wife. But
I think that was 28.
Saw a lot of jokes and tweets about who's getting fired at halftime and who's getting fired after the game. And, oh, the secondary looks bad, so let's fire the tight ends coach. If any more staff changes are going to come, it's probably not going to be till after the season. And that's when
that was a very special circumstance on the DL. That was something that had been really, really, really bothering Pruitt for a while, and he just could not wait.
And basically, he's made it sound like they weren't even practicing hardly. I mean, It was one of the most predictable things of the week when Wednesday night after practice, Pruitt was asked about the defensive line and said, hey, they've had their best three practices of the week since I took over.
Yeah.
Pretty, who could have seen that one coming? And then
shocker.
Talking about him. And I thought Matthew Butler had some interesting things to say about that, because he said, you know, players found out during their meetings on Sunday. And he said that in the business of college football, you don't really have time to react because you're already on to the next opponent, the next practice, the next whatever. And you just go. But he did say that they did some different things in practice. And even though they didn't see the results, sometimes those small changes can lead to big things. So, if there's going to be any changes to the staff, and I know apparently somebody on CBS during the pregame shows made it sound like Tennessee was on the verge of hiring somebody. We'll see. But I've been under the impression over the last few days that this would be something that Pruitt would address at the end or after the season. I don't know who you're going to hire from another job right now. But
I mean, stranger things have happened, but that would be pretty strange.
I also didn't think they would fire Jimmy Brumbaugh before games, and they did that. So
yeah,
I guess nothing can be ruled out at this, in this day and age.
Yeah. And we'll have plenty to discuss too, because this is a bye week coming up next week. So there's not going to be as many availabilities to talk to people, but we will have some podcasts. We'll have plenty to discuss. And I think some perspective on a game like this is nice. Maybe getting take up a couple days and think about it's probably going to help a lot of people. I think having an open date is going to help Tennessee a lot. And I still think that I'm going to say something that I said at the beginning of the podcast, that loss to Kentucky still sucks. And that's to me, that's the difference in this team being where I thought it would be right now, is the fact that that loss to Kentucky sucks.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd gone into this open date, please don't call it the bye week.
That's true.
If you'd gone into it,
because you're not advancing. We'll be working.
If you were 3-2 and you'd lost by 23 and 31 to Georgia, people would be kind of wondering when are they going to finally get back to competing with those two teams. But it wouldn't be as angsty. Everybody's irritable now because you blew the Kentucky game so bad.
But you know what, Pat? We're used to that right now. I mean, we live in that zone. People.
This is our first rodeo, Wes.
People feeling angst. Listen, this is right. This is right in our sweet spot. All right, it's not where we want to be. It's not the how we want to deal with people. But we're used to it now. We're used to it. Is there anything else you got, Pat, before you step out here?
Nope.
I think that's a good.
I'm done.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Guys, thanks for tuning in. As always, you can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown's P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news, nothing else on Twitter, you can get that at twitter.com/govals247, or you can go to facebook.com/govals247. It's not just Tennessee stuff on the Facebook page, but it's mostly Tennessee stuff on there. So you can check that out too at facebook.com/govals247. But if you want the best source, just the delicious East Tennessee Mountain Spring water right from the source, go to govals247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets to talk Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, baseball. And guys, hey, it's almost basketball season. Plenty of good stuff to think about there. Plenty of good stuff to talk about there. We'll get to all of that too. Lady Vols coverage from Maria Cornelius does an awesome job covering the Lady Vols for us. You can get all of that at govols247.com. We've got two message boards there. We got the checkerboard, which is the main forum. And then we've got the summit, the appropriately named summit, where Maria and everybody talk a lot of Lady Vols sports all the time. Lots of really good stuff on both boards. Highly recommend that. Go check that out. And if you pay us the full price for a subscription, we'll always give you a good deal at the beginning. But if you want to pay full price, which is still less than one mediocre lunch per month, I cannot stress that enough, less than one mediocre lunch per month, we'll get you access to CBS All Access for free. That's a $100+ annual value to CBS's streaming service, where you get live sports like college sports, SEC football, basketball, college basketball, NCAA tournament, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, all kinds of good stuff there, World Series of Poker stuff. And, oh, by the way, every show CBS has ever made, commercial-free, new movies in and out every month. Also stuff from Smithsonian and Nickelodeon for the kids. Also stuff from BET, MTV, Comedy Central. All kinds of good stuff. That's a $100+ annual value that we will give you for free. if you pay us full price at GoBalls 24/7. So please go check that out. If nothing else, you should hear from us again on Monday, I would imagine, probably. That seems about right. And I think that's about it. And I'm going to go put these vocal cords on ice. See you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.